If there's a movie, he's gonna rate it. He's gonna talk to his friends and they'll debate it. He's gonna try his best to not be a hater. His name is Billy the Movie Grader.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Movie Grader and Friends podcast, your weekly or semi-weekly podcast covering all of the latest movies in the theaters today or currently streaming right in your living room. I am Billy the Movie Grader, and in this episode, I am once again joined by my wonderful friend Shoshana to play movie catch-up since it's been a while since our last episode. Since Black Panther Wakanda Forever, some of us have seen The Fablemans, Avatar, The Way of Water, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, Megan, Babylon, A Man Called Otto, Missing, 80 for Brady, and finally, just released on February 17th, 2023, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. We have a lot to cover, so let's get right into it with the first movie up is The Fablemans. The Fablemans was directed by Steven Spielberg, and it stars Michelle Williams, Gabrielle LaBelle, Paul Dano, and Seth Rogen. It was released to theaters back on November 23rd, 2022. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. Growing up in post-World War II era Arizona, young Sammy Fableman aspires to become a filmmaker as he reaches adolescence, but soon discovers a shattering family secret and explores how the power of films can help him see the truth. All right, Shoshana, did you see this one or no?
Not yet.
Well, I did. I mean, kind of like one and a half times, I guess, because, like, you know, truth be told, the first time I went to go see it, I didn't get it and I walked out. I thought it was stupid. So I went back to go see it, and it turns out it was decent. I mean, I didn't think it was amazing or anything special. Like, it definitely was not Steven Spielberg's best, but it was fine. I mean, it was basically Steven Spielberg's story is what it's really about. And it's enjoyable. I mean, it's kind of weird with, I don't want to give anything away, but there's some weird family dynamics in it. And some of it was just kind of cringy, but I guess he had a pretty screwed up life. Apparently it was educational.
It sounded like you had to be in a certain place in your mind, you know, that this is a serious tone, you know?
Yeah. It was kind of like unbelievable. I was like, really? His life was like this? But yeah, I mean, it was, some of it gets kind of dark too. It goes into bullies because he was Jewish and stuff like that, and that stuff was kind of hard to see. But it was well done. But like, as far as it being like one of the best pictures of the year, I disagree. Like, if I had to grade it, I would give it a C+. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So next we'll move on to the new Avatar movie, Avatar, The Way of Water. Avatar, The Way of Water was directed by, of course, James Cameron. It stars Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, and Sigourney Weaver, just to name a few of the actors that are in it. It was released to theaters back on December 16th, 2022. And per IMDb, the plot is as follows. Jake Sully lives with his newfound family formed on the extrasolar moon Pandora. Once a familiar threat returns to finish what was previously started, Jake must work with Neytiri and the army of the Na'vi race to protect their home. Alrighty, I know you saw this one, right?
Yes, I did.
Go ahead and give us your thoughts.
We were all waiting a very long time for this sequel.
Years, literally.
Literally years, but rightly so, because it is beautifully pleasing. I mean, the special effects were amazing.
Oh yeah, it's worth the price of admission alone.
Yes. I mean, I have to give props to the people who weren't, you know, who were in the, you know, who are not in the film, but they were, you know, behind the screen, you know, doing inch by inch of digitally.
Yeah, motion capture.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Motion capture, and they did a phenomenal job, and so did the actors and actresses. I mean, yeah. I would thought it was kind of great that Kate Winslet is now in another James Cameron movie, and she is, she is definitely not shy in the water.
No. Like the whole last hour of the movie has like Titanic vibes.
Yes, yes. And I was just thinking of that with no spoiler, but
yeah.
I mean, the whole cast did a phenomenal job, but it was just nice to see Kate Winslet on the screen again in the water.
Yeah, I think James Cameron likes to see her swim. I don't know.
Just to make sure she's still gonna, you know, she could still do a backstroke and front stroke. Yeah. But I actually did enjoy this. There's some things I wish they didn't reveal too much and maybe save it for the third, because I know James Cameron said he wants to make a bunch of sequels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I just wish he didn't reveal so much all at once and just let it give that little mystery like the first one did.
Right. Well, yeah, because the first one's story was unlike anything we've seen before. And,
right.
You know, we kind of knew a bit more about this story for the sequel. And yeah, it wasn't as mysterious as the first one, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I mean, you'll be hard pressed to find a more beautiful movie. I mean, I went to go see it in Dolby Digital 3D, and oh my, my mouth was on the floor, especially for like those underwater scenes. They're like near like the reef. Like kind of in the beginning of the movie,
right?
So yeah,
I felt like I was underwater too.
Yeah, it's truly an experience. I mean, I went to go talk to my parents, and they're like, "How was it?" I was like, "You have to see this." So they actually ended up joining AMC A-List, and they went to go see it in the movies, and then that happened to be the night my sister-in-law Megan went into labor, so they left the movie, and then they went back to go see it, you know, to watch all of it again, and they enjoyed it too. So
wow, it's like a journey within a journey on that.
Exactly.
Like what, for the movie and then journey for real life. Wow, that's kind of special though. Yeah, and I wish they actually showed more of Miss Falco. She played, she's the actress that played Nurse Jackie and
Edie Falco. Yeah.
Yeah. She, cause I thought she did a phenomenal job, but she kind of like,
yeah, she was barely in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll see more. Maybe that's why we were.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she's going anywhere, but yeah.
She's a great actress.
Oh yeah. No doubt about it. Like, I think she, like, from what I can remember, she had maybe 10 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, but the real interesting character, what I thought was, and I hope I pronounce this right, Curie, played by Sigourney Weaver.
Uh-huh.
And her whole arc was just so interesting and so sweet. And I don't want to reveal, but, you know, hers was just like, I felt like I was on her journey with her.
Yeah, I liked her character a lot, too. I mean, it is a beautiful story. I mean, yeah, her name is Kiri. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I was just thinking these names are right. I mean, of course we get, you know, we get our characters from previous, but I also like how I actually like the new characters they introduced in this one, which was great.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them too.
Yes.
And like, but it's very. And the crazy thing about Avatar is, like, you know, they're literally avatars, and the actors are just portrayed by their voices. You really can't tell who anybody really is because their avatar looks nothing like them.
Well, I feel like they have some features a little bit slightly of their real selves, but I know they were like acting. They had like a special suit they had to wear. So,
yeah.
So they could do all the special effects, but
yeah, like our friend, like Chloe Coleman, she played young Lo-Ok. I think that's how you pronounce it. And like, I don't know which character that was.
Right. It can be. Yeah. Like I said, that's why I wish they didn't reveal too much, because it was just so overwhelming, and just maybe slowly in the third one, you know, reveal a little bit more, kind of like you're slowly feeding them and still add that mystery, because I love that mystery they had in the first one.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. But yeah, there's at least one more movie on the way. I mean, I know James Cameron said it's getting kind of expensive to make these movies.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think he did make his money though.
He actually did make the money back, I think, and then some. I think like Avatar's now is like the third highest grossing film ever or something like that. It's
but he definitely, yeah. But I give this movie an A.
I give it an A too. Yeah, it was definitely great. If you still can, go see it in the theater. It's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it.
All right. So should we move on to Puss in Boots now? All right. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, was directed by Joel Crawford and Hanuel Mercado. I think I pronounced that right. It features the vocal talents of Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek. It was released to theaters back on December 21st, 2022. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. When Puss in Boots discovers that his passion for adventure is taking its toll and he has burned through 8 of his 9 lives, he launches an epic journey to restore them by finding the last mythical wish. And Shoshana, you didn't see this, right?
No, but I was a fan of the first movie, so this is definitely on the list.
I gotta say, this was better than the first movie.
No, yeah. That says a lot, because I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, this one, I liked the first one too, but this one was better. They stepped their game up. It was so well done. It's so funny. And I mean, like, I just like Antonio Banderas, you know, his character. I mean, he makes Puss in Boots kind of like a, you know, egomaniac, basically. You know?
Yeah.
He thinks he's untouchable, you know, and like nobody can kill him, you know. So that's what this movie's all about. You know, it's about... This movie really kind of like checks his ego, because he runs into some bad guys. I don't want to give anything away, but you know, the bad guys kind of bring him down to earth, you know, because he Puss in Boots is everybody's God gift to men, you know. So the bad guys kind of check him in this to bring him to reality, but you know, he does so with the help of Salma Hayek's character. And they're both really good in it. I mean, the movie was just so well done. The animation's gorgeous. It's weird. It's got kind of like this, like, hybrid animation style, kind of like mix of CGI and like painting, like, together. It's very cool looking. I mean,
I love that type of CGI.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. And the other characters are in the movie. There's a lot of characters. Yeah, the other characters in the movie are all well done. And it's just a really, really well-made movie. And like, I was going into it thinking, oh, it's going to be, you know, just another sequel. And I was surprised it was better than the first one. it was better than it had to be. You know what I mean?
So, yes. Yeah. Which is surprising, you know, and I like that type of movies. You're surprised how, you know.
Yeah, it was a welcome surprise.
Yeah, which I'm glad to hear that. So what would you rate it?
Oh, God, I would give it an A-. It was really good. I have to admit, I enjoyed it. Like, I've seen it twice now, because I showed it to my parents, and they also loved it as well. So, yeah, it was really well done. Highly recommend it. Alrighty, so we'll move on to Whitney Houston's movie. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, was directed by Kasi Lemons, and it stars Naomi Ackie, Stanley Tucci, and Ashton Sanders. It was released to theaters back on December 23rd, 2022. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. A joyous, emotional, heartbreaking celebration of the life and music of Whitney Houston, one of the greatest female R&B pop vocalists of all time, tracking her journey from obscurity to musical superstardom. All right, Shoshana, you haven't had the chance to see this yet either, right?
Not yet, but this is definitely on my... This is also...
John. it's amazing. It's one of the best movies I've seen so far this year. And it's just like... It was incredible. I mean, what they did, I mean... You know, Whitney had a rough life, and, you know, you'll learn all about that. And also, too, you get to see like how things became unraveled. I don't want to give anything away, but you know, Bobby Brown had a big to do with it. It was as far as introducing her to drugs, but the movie says that the drugs were there before Bobby Brown, which I really don't believe. I think he was responsible for the drugs entering her life. I think she was just trying to be kind, but it's one heck of a movie. I mean, it's so well done. And, you know, for the record, Naomi Ackie, who plays Whitney, does not sing. She lip syncs to Whitney's vocals. So whenever you see her singing, it's actually Whitney's voice. So.
But that kind of like pays respect to Whitney, you know, uh-huh. She had a one of a kind, beautiful voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you'll notice too, like, you know, during the later, like, I guess third act of the movie or something, like when Whitney does tango with drugs and stuff like that, you know, you could see, you know, her voice kind of decline. And I think Naomi Ackie did sing those songs because like she could kind of sing to that level. But, you know, right. Whitney in her prime, she was on another stratosphere. It's like nobody could do what she did. So, yeah, it was quite the movie. I mean, I would grade it an A because it was just amazing.
That's great. Yeah, because Whitney has like so many layers. So I'm really looking forward to how they present that on screen.
Yes, you got to see it. Now we'll move on to actually one of your recommendations that you made me see that I was kind of like, I'll pass on it at first. It's Megan. Megan was directed by Gerard Johnstone, and it stars Allison Williams, Violet McGraw, Ronnie Chiang. It was released to theaters back on January 6, 2023. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. A robotics engineer at a toy company builds a lifelike doll that begins to take on a life of its own. Alrighty, go for it, Shoshana.
Okay, so the first thing I thought was Furbies. If anyone grew up with Furbies, you would totally understand. I did not have a Furby, but
I never had one either.
Yeah, but a lot of people I knew had them, and I seen them at their house, and they're pretty
terrifying.
Scary, and you know, because that's like part of, you know, AI. Right. And Furbies will sometimes just start talking when you're not even in the room. So Megan kind of gives you that nostalgic back in the 90s or thousands of Furbies. But I actually had no idea what I was going into. When I left, I was like, this was actually pretty good. Like from start to finish, I was entertained. And it kind of questions, like, is technology going too far? You know, human versus AI emotional support. Sure. Are you going to go to the human? Or are you going to go to the AI? Yeah. And it does raise, like, a lot of questions. I mean, they surface it. There's some humor. There's some, you know, there's some other, you know, plot. I don't want to give, you know, spoilers away.
Yeah, of course not.
About, you know, just about Gemma and her job. But there, this does, like, kind of touch on the surface, like, are we going too far with technology?
Yeah, it does raise that question, indeed. Yeah, I mean, to me, it was like a Chucky movie, but with a doll, with a female doll.
Well, I mean, Chucky had a whole different element. This was actually created by a person, you know, this was all technology. But how they did it was so clever because there was a human person playing Megan.
Yeah.
But then the voice was played by someone else.
Yeah.
So they had like two people playing Megan, basically. Yeah. Yes. But I thought that was really cool. And I think this is a Blumhouse production and they usually do pretty high quality movies.
Yeah, they normally do horror movies, and this wasn't scary at all. We should mention that.
Because they kind of like, if you see the preview, you're like, is this a scary movie? And no, it's more like a thriller.
Yeah, and it's not really creepy either, though. It was just a fun time. I mean, it was fine for me. It's not my type of movie. Am I dying to see it again? Absolutely not. once was good for me, but people, people seem to love it.
Right, and you know, that's why I said you got to see this movie. Just check it out. See for yourself.
Yeah, I gave it a chance, and you know, because it's normally not in my wheelhouse, but I gave it a shot, and it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it would be, to be honest. So
I'm glad because I give it a B because there's other Blumhouse films that I really like, you know, that I can watch over and over again. But this one's like a B. Maybe if I liked it, was more humor in it. But I don't think that's what they were going for with the dark humor.
Yeah, they tried with the dark humor. I mean, it was some of it was well done. Some of it they kind of missed. I mean, for that, I would give it like a C+. It was it's fine. Okay. It's worth watching once.
No, I'm just glad I got you to watch it. So
yeah, and also too, it's like, you know, of course we're not going to spoil anything, but there were a few plot holes I noticed that, you know, that could have kind of been tidied up, but you know, we'll leave that up for you to decide.
Yeah, and I agree with that plot hole. Again, no spoiler, but I agree.
Yeah, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, I am. But that's why part of it I give it a B. So because I would watch this again for fun. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Now we're moving on to Babylon. And I don't think you saw this one either, Shoshana, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, Babylon was directed by Damien Chazelle, and it stars a massive cast of Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, Jean Smart, Flea, Olivia Wilde, and Jeff Garland, just to name a few of them. It was also released at theaters back on December 23rd, 2022. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. A tale of outsized ambition and outrageous success. It traces the rise and fall of multiple characters during an era of unbridled decadence and depravity in early Hollywood. Okay. this movie, it was a lot.
I was going to say, how was
it? It was definitely excessive. It was, I don't know, it felt like, I mean, I've never done coke before, but it felt as if you were like on a cocaine binge at a Hollywood party. It's just everything is, you know, quick, and, you know, done to excess. And like, they needed an editor. It was like there was one scene in it that was just so stupid, and it was like so unnecessary. All I'll say is that it involves Tobey Maguire. So if you do watch it, you see Tobey Maguire, feel free to fast forward about 5 minutes into it. Okay. Just skip that scene. It should have been cut out. But yeah, and basically, like, this was just one big, it was like Oscar bait. You know, they had this insanely huge cast, and like, I wouldn't say they were all wasted. I mean, everybody was used pretty well. I mean, Margot Robbie is really good in it, and Brad Pitt as well. They both did a good job. And I mean, it was just fishing for Oscars. All the Oscars, you know, that they could possibly throw at this movie. It was big and it was grand. And the Oscars, I think, ignored them for the most part. I don't think it got nominated for much, so their efforts, you know, kind of went in vain. But it was fine. It was like, some of it was kind of shocking. Like within the first, I want to say, 5 minutes of the movie.
That's really elephant, early.
Yeah, an elephant decides to, oh God, how do we make this PG? Stuff comes out of the rear end on a human.
If you don't mind me asking, how was the acting though? Like, how was the acting, would you say?
Oh, well done. Everybody did a great job. I mean, it was believable. It is a fun movie to watch. It's like, you just feel like you're just high. It's just like, it's just like nonstop, like, you know, I don't know how I would describe it per se. Like, just very avant-garde, I guess you would say. It was very like in your face, like, you know, it's like sex, drugs are always in your face during it and stuff. And like, the look of it was amazing. Oh my God. It takes place during like the 20s or something, 20s or 30s. And they had like, costumes were amazing. And look of it was incredible. I mean, it should have been nominated for at least that. So yeah, it was decent. I would recommend it. I mean, I would give it about a B.
I'll definitely check it out. I was curious what you think actually before.
I mean, it's a 3.5 hour movie. They could have shaved off a good 45 minutes. I mean, to be honest, they needed an editor.
You could have been the editor.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could have very well easily shaved off 45 minutes. I mean, without a problem.
Yeah, save it for the Blu-ray, you know, special edition.
Yeah.
For the extra
45 minutes. I mean, like, the cool thing about it was, though, it was about making movies, you know, kind of like the Fablemans was. It was kind of like the same movie. It was about making movies and... It's just, yeah, just see it. All righty. So we'll move on to, I know the one that you did see, called A Man Called Otto. A Man Called Otto was directed by Mark Forrester, and it stars Tom Hanks, Mariana Trevino, and Rachel Keller. It was released to theaters back on January 13th, 2023. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. Otto is a grump who's given up on life following the loss of his wife and wants to end it all. When a young family moves in nearby, he meets his match in quick-witted Marisol, leading to a friendship that will turn his world around. Alrighty, go for it, Shoshana.
So I know Tom Hanks is the star of this film, but I really feel like the actress who plays Marisol was...
Oh, yeah, she did a great job. Yeah.
She did an amazing job, and I felt like this was an ensemble cast. Yes. I mean, I got every single character and from start to finish. And I mean, at the end, you're kind of sad, but you're still like satisfied. And yeah. This was just a really heartwarming story, and it could be true.
Oh, easily. It could be very real, easily be true. Yeah, it was. It is not a movie you walk out of there whistling with, but yeah, it's sad and it's serious, but it is funny at times though. I mean, there's a few bits in there that made me laugh and, you know, for comic relief, because it is for the most part serious, but it was so well done. Acting from top to bottom was just superb, and Tom Hanks is just amazing. So,
yes. And I know this is based on a book. It's called A Man Called Ov. Which now I want to read the book, and then they also have a Swedish version of this movie, and now I want to see this one. I mean, that's how much I really enjoyed this film. Yes. And there was a lot, and there was humor. Actually, there's little details that was just hilarious, and you just can't help but laugh.
Right. Yeah, it was well done. I mean, this movie is kind of hard to talk about into depth without giving a lot of it away. So we'll kind of just not do that. So yeah, it was basically just go see it. It's worth it.
From start to finish.
What would you grade it?
Oh, definitely A. I mean, this was Tom Hanks does a phenomenal job.
Yes. Yeah. It was. He alone is worth the price of admission. But like you said, the ensemble cast is just a bonus, you know?
Yes.
All right. So we'll move on to Missing. Missing was directed by Nicholas D. Johnson and Will Merrick. It stars Tim Griffin, Ava Azaria Lee, and Nia Long. It was released into theaters back on January 20th, 2023. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. After her mother goes missing, a young woman tries to find her from home using tools available to her online. And I don't think you saw this one either, right?
No.
Yeah, well, this was quite the movie. I mean, the little girl in it did an amazing job. And the whole thing of the movie is that it takes place pretty much all on Skype. she has to find her mom, and there's a twist, of course, and that you don't see coming. It was really well done. It was quite the thriller, and you know, if there's any movie to hold your attention while staring at, you know, what was supposed to be somebody else's, you know, laptop screen, this was it. it was really well done, and yeah, I mean, I recommend it. I would give it an A. It was great.
Wow. Well, the trailer alone looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, so I definitely will check this one out.
Absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, I'll give that an A. And then next up on, we have 80 for Brady. All right. 80 for Brady was directed by Kyle Martin, and it stars Rita Moreno, Jane Fonda, Sally Field, and my friend Lily Tomlin. It was released to theaters back on February 3rd, 2023. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. A group of friends made their lifelong mission to go to the Super Bowl, and meet NFL superstar Tom Brady. Alrighty, you want to kick this off, Shoshana?
I love this movie. Yes. I mean, it's so hilarious. Even the if you pay attention to the background, if you pay attention to the background, it was just funny. So, yes. I mean, every little detail in this film, and I'm not going to give, because there's a bunch of surprises throughout the film that I don't even know. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I just love this film, and I love it how it's about the journey, not the destination.
Right. Right. Yeah, it was really well done. I mean, they got some of the queens of comedy in there with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, who have worked a lot together. You know, they had that they've had that TV show on Netflix that escapes me. What was it called?
Frankie and Grace.
Yes, Grace and Frankie.
And Frankie. Yes. Yeah.
And it was just, you know, their chemistry on screen is so good together.
How they make fun of themselves and each other and not get upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very self-aware. I mean, like they knew what they were doing, and they just didn't care. They just had fun with it. It was very refreshing to see. I mean, and you know, for like the football fans, I mean, there's a few football players in there too, none of which can act, but including Tom Brady.
I'll just say they should just stick to what they know. Yes. But still, it was a nice cameo. I mean, it was just funny just to see that the ladies interact with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole gag with Guy Fieri is very funny. He did a good job. Yeah. But like, out of all the football players in it, I do got to say that Marshawn Lynch was the best one. They even like lean in on like his whole Skittle gag too. And while he was playing, was it poker or something when they walk into the room there? Yeah. Right. It was really well done.
And I like how you said they're very self-aware, because they talk about, you know, ageism, you know, and they're like, we know we have ageism, but like, that's not going to stop that.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't care. You know, it's like, I think my dad said when he went to go see Jerry Seinfeld, and like Jerry Seinfeld had a joke about, it's like, he said, like, when I'm so old now, it's like, I've learned, I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think about me. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
And it's like, exactly.
And basically, you know, other people can kick rocks if they don't like it. So, you know, I think these ladies are kind of feeling the same vibe as he is. So.
But they were hilarious, and they still got it. They're still funny. And I like how they show the friendship of supporting one another.
And it is based on a true group of girls that actually went to the Super Bowl so it's a very heartwarming movie, and you know, it came out around, like, I think it was like a week before Super Bowl, this year's Super Bowl, which my Niners should have been in, by the way. Damn Eagles.
I thought that was a good advertisement for the AD for Brady right before the Super Bowl. It gets everyone hyped. So that was very clever on the advertisement team.
Yeah. And it's cool because the movie does actually, you know, deal with the actual Super Bowl where the Patriots came back and beat the Falcons. So and you do see game footage, you know, from that actual game in the movie. So
which I thought that was really, really cool and everything. And my dad, who's not, he saw the movie with me when we went to the theater, and he is not a big like chick flick kind of movie. He likes more like serious action, but even he enjoyed it from start to finish.
So there's something in it for everybody. I mean,
yes.
What would you grade it?
Oh, I'm definitely an A, of course. I mean, this was.
I would give it an A too. It hit the spot. Like, ever since I saw the trailer, I was excited for it. I was like, I got to see this. It's good.
Yeah.
It did not let me down.
No,
It did not let me down. And I would watch it again. I would definitely watch it.
Yes, for sure. No. Yeah. I can't wait to show my parents. I think they would get a kick out of it too.
Oh, definitely. Even the bad acting of Tom Brady.
Yes. Yeah, it was just really well done. Alrighty. Yes. Now we'll move on to the last movie for this week's show. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania was directed by Peyton Reed. It stars Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly for about 5 minutes of the movie, and Jonathan Majors. It was released in theaters back on February 17th, 2023. Per IMDb, the plot is as follows. Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne, along with Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, explore the quantum realm, where they interact with strange creatures and embark on an adventure that goes beyond the limits of what they thought was possible. All right, and you haven't seen this, correct?
No, because I want to know what you think.
Yeah, before I see it. I went to go see it, like, it was a Thursday night, and I got to be honest, I was kind of bored. I think the second Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, movie was way better. I think that was the best of the three so far. And yeah, this would be like the worst Ant-Man movie yet.
Because the first two were pretty entertaining.
Yeah, this, I was bored. I was just like, it's just boring. I mean, I do have to admit, Jonathan Majors plays Kang, and he does a really good job. Like, he's worth the price of admission alone, you know? And, like, but, like, it's just, like, there's only so much actors can do to save a turd of a script, you know? It's, like, and, you know, what it all boils down to, basically, it's just, like, another one of those setup movies for another Disney Plus show, a season that's coming out. I'm not going to say which one, but,
No.
Of course, if you go see it, wait till the very last seconds of the trailers to see, like, there's two extra end credit scenes that are actually both better than the movie. but so it does get you excited about what's to come, because this movie was just
that's a bummer, because you know the Marvel universe can be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, I was just like, I checked my watch a couple of times. I was like, when is this going to end? It was just like, it was boring. I mean, like, there's a couple of good scenes, but I don't know. They really missed the mark with this one.
That was Paul Rudd. Because Paul Rudd always does a great job of acting.
He's Paul Rudd. He's got a few funny lines, but, like, again, Jonathan Majors stole the show. I mean, I like Evangeline Lilly too, but she's not in it all that much. They kind of sideline her. You know, I'm not going to tell you how or why, but you'll see.
I don't like when they sideline that. Yeah, just the good characters.
Yeah, it's stupid how they sidelined her, and it was for a stupid reason too. I heard it was because, like, she's apparently like this anti-vaxxer or something, and I guess like she was not falling in line with what Disney wanted to portray, so they sidelined her because of that. But yeah, she's barely in the movie. It's like, and it's a shame because she's good. It's like, yeah, so it was a major letdown. I mean, if I were to grade it, honestly, like C-. I mean, the only reason why it's, you know, in the C range is because of Jonathan Majors. I mean, the guy he gave a hell of a performance. I mean, it was, you know,
I might wait until Disney Plus then.
Yes, you can absolutely wait till Disney Plus. Yeah,
that one I probably will wait until Disney Plus. It goes on.
Yeah, it was a waste of time. All right, so let's see. Should we wrap it up then?
Yes.
Right. That will wrap it for this episode of the Movie Gator and Friends podcast. Keep an eye out for the next episode, where we will cover as many of the new movies as possible in hopefully a timely fashion. Yes. Something we're trying to get better at and miserably failing at.
Well, it's a new year. It's a new year.
Yeah. Scheduling is hard, though. Yeah. All right.
Let's think positive. I think we can try to do
this. We can do it. Please find me on Instagram and Twitter at The Movie Grader. And please visit my website, which I need to update, www.themoviegrader.com. On iTunes, please review and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Also, please tell your friends about the podcast. We both thank you so much for the support, all you four listeners. The Movie Grader and Friends podcast is available on all major podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and basically anywhere you can get your podcasts from. This has been the Movie Grader and Friends podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you soon.